So if you have a Bible with you, I hope you have, I want you to open your Bible to the book of Proverbs. You'll find it very easily, just after the Psalms, you know, just open your Bible and it almost opens out there. Proverbs chapter 6. It has been said about the Proverbs, the laws of heaven for life on earth. And I think the man who first said that had some good knowledge of the book of Proverbs. But that sink down, it's the laws of heaven for life on earth. Let us read it, chapter 6 and verse 6. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shalt thy poverty come as one that travelleth, and thy want as an armed man. May the Lord be pleased to bless to us the reading of these verses. Let us bow for prayer. Our Father, we turn again to Thee at this moment as we seek to handle the eternal Word. It's Thy Word. We pray that by Thy Holy Spirit Thou shalt write these truths in all our hearts in such a way that we'll be able to understand them and never forget them. Look down in mercy upon each one of us now, for surely thou canst read all our thoughts. Deal with each of us as thou seest best. Be pleased to lay a fresh trophy at the Saviour's feet. We ask these things, giving thanks in his precious name. Amen. It's a strange thing. If you were to go back to the book of Genesis and begin to read God's record of creation, his crowning piece of creation was man. Man came in on the sixth day. After everything else was in order, God created man. And he put man in a certain position of dominion. Man had dominion over all of God's creation on earth. Even the animals were subject to man. But unfortunately, man fell. Now remember this. When Adam came from the hand of God, Adam was created with a great measure of wisdom. Adam had more wisdom than any of us here. In fact, he had more wisdom than any man alive today. There's not a man alive today who could control the whole world. Some of them would like to. Some of them think they are doing it, but they're not. Yet Adam had the power and he had the wisdom. He could give names to every one of God's created creatures. And the names that he gave them were significant. But when I come to the book of the Proverbs and other references in the Word, but in particular the book of Proverbs, I find that the coin has been reversed. Instead of Adam being able to give instructions now and guidance to the animals, Solomon, the wise man, is telling us in the book of Proverbs, we'll have to set our thoughts now on the lower creation and take lessons from them. Imagine. Man with all his power, with all his boasted intelligence, being commanded to go and examine a little ant and learn lessons from the ant. In fact, when you come away over to the second last chapter of Proverbs, he'll tell us there that there are four things that are small, yet exceeding wise. Can you come to grips with the idea that a little insect could teach us lessons? He says, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways. That is, consider her manner of life. Consider how she lives, what she does. Take a lesson from that little creature and be wise. Oh, perhaps we don't like that word, sluggard. I suggest if you read through the Proverbs sometime at your leisure, and take a special note of every time that you read about this person, the sluggard, the slothful person, so on. You'll learn a tremendous amount of lessons. Yet we don't like the word. If someone was to call you a sluggard, well, you might want to slug them. That's what some men would do. Yet it's true. I believe this, of all the characters presented to us in the book of Proverbs, each of us could relate to the sluggard better than anyone else. We're all guilty of it if we take time to consider our manner of life as compared with what is said about the sluggard. I once read a rather humorous story about a man in Calcutta in India, a real Indian. But he prided himself in the way he had learned the English language. Not only could he converse in the English language, but he could read it. A true-blooded Indian, but he was educated, and he had a bakery business, could bake bread. A lot of English people living around the area, and he wanted to entice them in order to be his customers. He would do more business. But he wanted to put up a big sign outside his premises. They wanted that sign to be written in English. So he did it, had it painted. They looked up his English dictionary, and he found that bread in the English language was called a loaf. You like that? So when he had his sign painted and put outside, there was his name in shining letters, and it said, a first-class loafer. A first-class loafer. Do you know, I've come across an awful lot of first-class loafers. Have you? When you go through the Proverbs, you'll find this first-class loafer. You enter first of all into his bedroom in the morning. And what's he saying? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, and the challenge is, when wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Now I don't know if this would apply more to younger people than it does to the older folks. When you get a little older and you find you've got responsibilities, you, You don't need anyone to come and drag you out of bed, and the alarm goes off, you know you've got to get up and get to your work. But perhaps there's a time when you've got to almost to be pulled out of bed, especially when you're going to school and you don't want to go. You can have all sorts of pains and aches at that time. Stomach aches, headaches, anything can go wrong when it's time to get up and go to school if you don't want to go. I remember a man who worked in a place where I worked for some time. And he lived in the very street that led down to that place. You know, in the morning, the other men going to their work, 20 minutes before starting time, start at 6 o'clock in the morning, but 20 minutes to 6, they would start passing his window. And almost every one of them went and knocked his window and shouted in, "Will, are you waking yet? Time for your work." The last one would pass perhaps about 5 minutes to 6, and he would just get in time. He would shout to him, "I'm getting ready. Clock me in and I'll be down." But that was against all rules and regulations, but it was done every morning. He was clocked in. Somebody clocked his ticket. That man was late for his work every morning. He was the laziest man in that place. In spite of the fact he had 9 children, they'd all to be fed and clothed. He would come to his work and he would do as much in a day as the ordinary man would do in an hour. That's him, the sluggard. Wouldn't get up in the morning. Why? Look, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. And you're saying, how long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? And you say, yeah, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. What's the result? So shalt thy poverty come as one that travelleth. Now you see, take this first of all in the physical sense. The normal way in which we look at it. Here's a man who's so lazy, he won't get out of his bed, he won't attend to his work, he's absent more than what he's present. When he's there, he does as little as possible, so therefore there's no promotion, he loses out, and before long, he's in poverty. Like one that travels, you know who he is, don't you? That old bum. That floats around from one town to the other, and they get to know the rescue missions right from New York, right down to Florida. And they know exactly how to travel from one to the other. They know how many days they can spend in Philadelphia. They know how many days they can spend in Baltimore. They know where the missions are. They know exactly how to get around. They know what corner to stand at. They know where to come up and say, "Spare a dime, sir." Perhaps they're not satisfied with a dime now. "Spare a quarter, sir." And they beg their way around. One that traveleth, your poverty comes because you wear that slugger. That slothful person. And so he says, go to the ant. Consider her way. She has no guide. She's got no overseer. She's got no ruler. She's got nobody prodding her along, telling her what to do. She's got no overseer watching and inspecting her work. She's got no ruler to whom she's got to come and give an account. I wonder, if children went to school today and there was no teacher, no rules, no regulations, there were books there, you could go in like going into the library, you could study them and do what you like and learn, but there was no teacher to make you do it. There was no inspector coming in to see if you did anything. How many of the children would spend the time learning? Suppose someone had a business uptown or in one of the shopping malls. They employed about 200 people in the store. But they said, here is how this store will be run. You'll come in when you like. And you'll go out when you like. If you want to work 3 days a week, all right. If you want to work 4 hours a day, fine. Just come in when you like and go out when you like. And serve the customers if you like. If you don't like, just stand around. How do you think that business would prosper? You know, within a month they would have to shut the doors. Bankrupt. Now look, let's take this over into the spiritual. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. You can't say spiritually you've no guide or a supervisor or a ruler. You have a guide. You've got your conscience. And your conscience tells you when you're doing right to when you're doing wrong. You've got a guide, all right. You've got the Word of God. You have an overseer. The eyes of the Lord are upon you. And there's nothing we can hide from Him. The Lord knows our down sinning and He knows our uprising. There are things we could hide from one another. Things we could hide from our nearest and dearest friends. But you cannot hide anything from God. He oversees. He knows exactly not only what we're doing, He knows what we're thinking. He can penetrate to the innermost recesses of our thoughts. He knows us through and through. Did you ever see an X-ray of yourself? It's rather a strange thing the first time you see it. Of course, you tremble a little to see what it's going to look like, see? Now, when they show you an X-ray plate of yourself, you can look right through yourself. But all you see is a lot of shadows and strips and whatnot. And didn't mean much to me. But I wonder what it would mean if we could see an X-ray of our thoughts. God says that. God knows us through and through. Yes, we have a guide. We have an overseer and a ruler. A ruler is one to whom you must give account. You know, it's a novel thing when children come home from school and that report card time. And some are very proud of the reports and some are ashamed of them. The report. Dad has got to sign it, or Mum has got to sign the report, and I've got to take it back. Sometimes the teachers are ashamed of them. If the little ones in their class haven't done too well, report. But one day we've got to give an account. Every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Now he says, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways. She hasn't got a guide. She hasn't got an overseer. She hasn't got a ruler. And without those things to prompt her on, still she works. She provides her meat in the summer and gathereth her food for the winter. In the harvest time, she gathers. You see, have you ever read that story, I'm sure you have, in the Bible, about that young fellow called Joseph? Joseph was a remarkable young man. Not only did he live his life in purity, moral purity, but Joseph had a lot of know-how. Do you remember the occasion when he made it known to Pharaoh, it is going to be 7 years of plenty. But following that 7 years of plenty, there's going to be 7 years of famine. Now what you'll have to do is this, you'll have to appoint a man, he said. And during that 7 years of plenty, he'll have to gather. That's a harvest time. There'll be far more than we can use in the land of Egypt. So we'll gather it together. You should store it up. And then when the 7 years of famine come along, you'll be able to pull on your resources. You'll be able to supply the needs of the people. Said Pharaoh, well, if we need a man to do that, I believe you're the best man for it. You're the man that knows. So Joseph was appointed in the place. What did he do? Ah, he collected the surplus, all right. And he got barns built. He stored it up. He knew that the time of testing was coming. You see, what Joseph did was this. He used a lot of wisdom. A lot of know-how. The result was this. The day came when they said, why, go to Joseph. There's food down in Egypt. Go and get the supply. And the whole message was, go to Joseph. Go to Joseph. There was sufficient there to meet the need. Now, says the writer here in the Proverbs, I want you to go to the ant, that little creature. You haven't got as much wisdom as that little thing. Notice how it acts with all this wisdom. Has it got foresight? Here's a supply of grain. Now someone will come along and say, that's all rubbish, you know. You watch the ants, they don't store up grain, they've got no granaries. Well, perhaps you're watching the wrong ant. Remember, this was written in the Middle East. And the ants there do store up. This little ant goes along without being prodded along, without somebody supervising, has got nobody to account to. But if the ant doesn't gather in the harvest and make provision for the winter, that ant will die. It'll perish. And so were all the other ants that act the same way. Got foresight. The time has come to make preparation for the future. But the man who's slothful and the sluggard makes no preparation. I remember a missionary telling us some time ago, the people amongst whom he was laboring, he said, you know, they have certain ways and ideas amongst them. And he showed us how they were building a chapel, so many workers there. But he said, one day he came along and there was nobody working. He wanted to know why they weren't working. Well, they had a certain principle. When it comes to work, never do today what you can leave till tomorrow. And when it comes to eating, never leave till tomorrow what you can eat today. And he says someone had been out at the hunt and they had killed some animal. Perhaps it was one of those wild pigs, I don't know, but they brought it in and roasted it. A barbecue, a real barbecue. And so work stopped. It's time to eat. Never leave till tomorrow what you can eat today. That was their idea. Work, don't do today what you can leave till tomorrow. You say, well, that wasn't right, was it? Let me apply the principle now to you in regards to spiritual things. What are men and women doing now? They're not showing any wisdom in making preparation for that which lies before us. Remember, the testing time is coming. The date will come when we'll have to give account of ourselves to God. When life will be put under review. The ant had foresight. The aunt knew what was coming. Who told that little creature then? And by the way, they don't just act as individuals, these little ants, although they've all got their individual work to do. They seem to live in colonies. No one pushes them along, but they work. It's different if you have a beehive, you know. Funny thing, you've never noticed, there's never a king in a beehive. I've often wondered about that, because I've never kept bees. There's always a queen. I think that's why there's so many of them hive off at times. Get out. But they do that kind of thing. But you see, in the beehive, they all have their own particular work to do. And they have in the beehive certain bees that they call drones. The drone is just like the sluggard. But you know what they do with the drone? They sting him to death. If he's not going out to work and bring in the honey, no use for him in the hive. And you'll often find those drones lying around outside dead. They've been stung to death. No room for the drone. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways. That is, consider her manner of life. Again, I'm going back to where we started. Can you imagine, can you come to grips with the idea that man, who is superior to all other forms of creation, able to control all the animals in the early days, till he sinned. Now he's got to go to a little creature like an ant and learn his lesson from that. That these little creatures know to prepare for what's coming. Preparation. Now there's a command given here. Go to the ant. God gives his commands. Yet up till now, it may be that someone here this morning, and you've never bothered yourself to listen to God's commands. You've been doing your own thing. And you're going to do it your way. And there's nobody going to push you around. Nobody going to tell you what to do. My friend, listen, God tells us what to do. And unless we're prepared to lend our thoughts to what God tells us, we're going to be in trouble. Because we're going to be like that slothful sluggard. And before long, his poverty will come like the man that traveleth. Oh, but then, if that's giving us a picture of just poverty with regards to material things, that's one thing. But what about poverty in relation to spiritual things? What about the man who's in absolute poverty when it comes to the things of God? Let me ask you this. Are you in possession of God's salvation? Are you? In plain words, if someone was to face you up today, and the two of you were standing there, and someone said to you, "Are you saved?" What answer would you give? I know the answer some folk give, that's none of your business. Yes, it is some of my business. And it's some of the business of your friends as well. But people don't like being asked that question. Now, I wouldn't resent it if anyone asked me that question. Said to a fellow just last week. Hadn't seen him for a long time. Now, said to him, by the way, let me ask you a question. Are you still saved? And he looked at me and he said, "Of course I am." "Are you quite sure about it?" "Yeah." "And you don't think you could ever lose that salvation now?" And he smiled a little. "No," he said, "I'm quite certain." He said, "I can't lose my salvation." But there was a time when he wasn't too sure. And there's a lot of people today not sure about their salvation. You see, a man was once telling an old woman who said, "Well now, I'm saved," she says, "and I know that my feet's on the rock." "Oh, but man," he said, "you could fall off the rock." He says, "I can't fall through it. And I'm on top of it. And I'm solid on the rock." That's the way to look at it. If you're on Christ the rock, you can neither fall off it nor fall through it. You can be safe and secure from all alarms. What have you got? Are you in spiritual poverty? You're not right with God? You don't have His salvation? Go to the ant, thou sluggard, it's a command. Go and examine. And here is the exhortation. Consider her ways. Consider what that little thing does and the preparation she makes for the future. And be wise. Wisdom. Throughout the Proverbs, a great deal said about wisdom. Do you know, when it comes to wisdom, the writer of these Proverbs, Solomon, was always looked upon as being the wise man. Where did he get his wisdom? He didn't get it at the school. There's not a school today, and you can take the whole of the United States and all the other countries besides. There's not a school today that can give you wisdom. Give you a lot of knowledge. But knowledge isn't wisdom. A lot of people today got knowledge and they don't know how to use it. In fact, some of them may use it the wrong way before very long and find themselves in trouble. You see, knowledge is one thing, wisdom is another. It's all right having the knowledge if you have the wisdom to know how to use the knowledge. But sometimes a little knowledge is dangerous. And it's wisdom that we need. Solomon got his wisdom from God. And you and I need that wisdom that will bring us to the point where we're willing to look to the future. We need that wisdom where we'll have some foresight, where we'll realize that we're not in this life forever, that the summer comes, there's a harvest, that's the time for collecting, there's the winter coming, which is the test. And so far as life is concerned, we've seen this man in his bedroom. He's not willing to get out of his bed. He's not willing to be stirred. You can watch him when he goes to the workshop. He's late. There's another verse later on that tells us this, that when his boss man sends him on a job, he worries about it. He doesn't get back in time. He lingers. He doesn't do the job correctly. He's slothful. But then, let us come now to the last room where you'd find this fellow. Perhaps it's the same room where we start here. But let us come to the death chamber. How is he going to act now? Thy poverty shall come as one that travelleth, and thy want as an armed man. Now, I don't know if you do this or not. I don't. And I'm not going to do it. You can do it if you like. And find yourself in trouble. I know one fellow who sleeps with a little gun under his pillow every night. I said, why do you keep that thing there? Protection, he says. Against what? Well, he said, if anybody was to break into my house, I'm going to protect myself. Now, what would you do? Would you shoot the fellow? Well, he said, if he was coming in to shoot me, he said, I would draw first. And he could draw. He was quick on the draw. I said to him, he would have to get me. I would rather that he would get me than me get him. Friend, but when that armed man comes in, see, I know one lady who heard a noise at her room door one night. She just sat up in bed and the door opened. A fellow with a mask over his face, he pointed the gun at her. That was it. An armed man coming into the room. Ah, but listen. Sometimes we can lock the door, bar the windows, or you may have the gun, protect yourself. And I'll tell you this. There's one person has the key to every door you can lock. You can lock every door you have. You can put a double lock on it. You can have all the protection you care to have. But when death comes along, he's got the secret key that lets him into every room. He can enter the White House if he likes, something you and I can't do. He can enter the palace, or he can go to the old shack on the mountainside. He's got that secret key that lets him in like an unmarried. And suppose he came for you or me, and we're not ready. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways. She's got foresight and she prepares. You may have prepared for a place to bury your casket. You may have prepared with insurance to pay the debt. Have you made any preparation for where you'll be when you leave this old house? Where are you going? Consider her ways and prepare. Go into that death chamber with that slothful man nearing the end. Try and converse with him now about his need of a savior. Try and convince him now that he needs to get right with God. Too late. Too late. He can't even think right. He can't even consider these things. He's gone on and on without God, without God's word. He's traveled his own way and he's brought spiritual poverty upon himself. And he'll bring eternal destruction. You and I are still in time. We can still consider our ways. We can get right with God and do it now. You can get right with God, he tells you how. Oh, come to Christ who shed his blood and at the cross get right with God. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank Thee for everyone who has made preparation and is looking forward to that joyful coming day when we'll be with the Lord that died for us and saved us. But oh, we pray for those who are still slothful with regards to spiritual things, who say just a little time longer, let me linger just for a day or two more, pushing it off, acting like the sluggard. Oh God, we pray for them. Wilt thou stir them up? Sound the alarm to them now. Get them out of the sleep of death, that they may be able to turn to thee and accept the spiritual life that is offered in Jesus Christ. Separate us with thy blessing now, for his own name's sake. Amen. We intended